your home of the Las Vegas Raiders, 1430 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader, KFIG Fresno.
Big to Jacobs, Miller the block, time for O'Connell, downfield he goes, caught by Adams. It's third down and five, O'Connell, he's got him, Myers, touchdown.
Inside the Patch with your Las Vegas Raiders, here's Gnarly Charlie.
What's going on? It is Inside the Patch. We are ESPN 1430, your Valley local sports leader, brought to you by Fresno Rack and Shelving, nice rack, and Top Turf Warehouse. Get your grass over here. We have got so much to cover. Yes, we did lose to the Kansas City Chiefs, but we had a 14-0 lead and we blew it. But that being said, we are still in this thing. We also heard some rumors that there is a chance John Gruden will be coming back to the Silver and Black. We're going to get into all of this coming up. What do you want for Christmas? Do you want the Raiders to run the table? Do you want John Gruden to be back in Las Vegas? Coming up next, we've got Brian Noe to help us answer all those questions right here on Inside the Patch.
Every Friday, tune in for Inside the Patch, featuring interviews with former and current Raiders. Join Gnarly Charlie Fridays at 4 p.m. right here on 1430 ESPN with guests like Bill Romanowski and many more as Gnarly paints the Valley silver and black. 1430 ESPN, your official home of the Las Vegas Raiders. Your home of the Las Vegas Raiders, 1430 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader, KFIG Fresno.
Chiefs have six in the secondary, third down and six. O'Connell, the rookie out of Purdue, he's got him! Josh Jacobs. Oh, he's got the big hole! He's into the secondary, they can't get him, you can kiss him goodbye! Touchdown! Touchdown Raiders! 63 yards!
Inside the Patch with your Las Vegas Raiders. Here's Gnarly Charlie.
Go back to Inside the Patch. We are ESPN 1430, your Valley local sports leader. Also, we want to thank Fresno Rack and Shelving, nice rack, and Top Turf Warehouse, 559-514-TURF, as they say. Get your grass over here. And you can text the word gnarly to 51555 and help support Valley Children's Hospital. Right now, we have Brian Noe, the man that knows everything. It's in his name. What's up, Brian?
What's up, Gnarly? You know, I wish I knew everything when I was betting on these games, you know? Because I think my nickname changes when there's changes. That little stuff going on. I don't know what goes on to that, but what goes into that, but it seems to happen.
Are you a DraftKings guy, or are you more straight the over-unders and that kind of thing?
Well, I mean, you can do the over-unders on DraftKings, right, or whatever. So do you associate DraftKings with more kind of daily fantasy? Is that what you think?
I associate DraftKings more as in you have a budget and you pick your team every week. So that's – I know you can do both, but I'm saying some right. people like that. You have X amount of dollars and you pick a new team every week. Do you like to do that? Or
no, I've been more into just straight sports gambling. Whether it's, you know, you pick a side, this team or that team, will they cover the spread, the total of the game? There are a million things you can bet on. Prop bets, you know, individual players, will they go over under, all that type of stuff. I'm into that. So it is, they kind of blend together where you think about right. daily fantasy is very similar to player props going over under, that sort of thing. It's fun. It's a lot of fun, but it's challenging, man.
Well, but the other thing too is the game's already on, you're two quarters in, and now you can make second half bets.
Oh,
and
yeah.
At least you have some knowledge of how they're playing. But,
well,
but
that's the thing, you know, too, is the NFL lies to you all the time. Think about the Raiders against the Chiefs. The Raiders get off to this hot start. The yeah. Raiders have gained about 130 yards. The Chiefs have 13 yards early on in the first quarter. And you're like, man, look at the Raiders over here. And then, boom, the game
reality
totally changes. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and they kept showing the fake Andy Reid in the stands. And he was even confident. And they were down 14 points. I'm like, this guy knows something. He knows something.
Yeah. That's the hard part about picking teams, in-game betting, You know, I know you don't want to do a whole betting thing, but a little.
No. It's tough. I think it's part of it. I think it's part of it, you know,
because it's like, put that in real life terms. If you were dating a girl and it's similar to the way a game plays out, you know, okay, let's say you're dating this girl that's, we'll call her the Raiders. You know what I mean?
I'm dating the Raiders.
Things are going great. You know, we've been on a couple of dates. Things are nice. She's attentive. Like, she seems like a really great girl. I think this could go somewhere. And then the next date, 180. Just total 180. Everything changes. It's chaotic. She's erratic. That's sports betting. That's what the Raiders just did. Great start, and then it goes haywire.
No, that's what everybody told me. And then all your friends go, I told you. I told you. That's what they're going to do.
Right, right. It's, you could make any number of comparisons. If you start a new job in the first couple of weeks, this is going great, man. This job is awesome. I love it. And then something happens and it 180s. It's just a complete reversal. Or like, I don't know.
The boss reveals himself.
Hollywood Hogan. And you're like, whoa, that's what the Raiders did against the Chiefs. So if you're thinking about in-game betting, the Raiders were a big underdog. But I don't know what the point spread would have been at the time when they're up 14-0. But let's say they're even money, or they're a slight favorite, and you're like, man, Raiders -2 might be a good play right now. They were nowhere close to that when the game was over with. So it's wild, man. It's always a guessing game.
Well, and so for me, watching the game, we're up 14-0, and I'm nervous. But, when Daniel Carlson misses a 25-30-yard field goal, I went, uh-oh. Mm. It just froze me. And I thought, that would have been a good time for us to push it. It was 4th-and-1. And maybe that's the analytics was the right thing to kick the field, get the points.
Yeah.
And then when you don't get the points, it's just like, oh, here we go. Yeah.
I know it. Football's crazy too, because it's not just the current game, it's the previous games also.
Yep.
So you think about the Chiefs, they lost a heartbreaker to the Eagles, where they're going in for points, Travis Kelce fumbles, all the dropped passes, MVS drops a pass that probably would have won the game, right? Like, let's say they win that game. Let's say they beat Denver a couple of weeks beforehand, right? So they had a couple of losses. So that makes them that much more dangerous against the Raiders.
Right.
Where they're like, not again. We're down 14-0 already. It's like, oh, hell no. You know what I mean? Where if they had won a couple of games and had a winning streak, like maybe against the Raiders would have been their Denver game, right? Where they lost.
Right,
like, crazy how it goes like that.
Well, and then I hear, oh, Max Crosby didn't practice. I'm like, oh no. And I just expect him to be 100% Max 99% of the plays. And that's what's going to happen. Let's get down to reality. And he still got a sack, but I was watching, just zeroing on him. And they could handle him. He was missing that. And he's trying to play, which is probably not good for you. You know, and then like, you got this, he could really get hurt worse. You know, it's dangerous right at this point.
Yeah, I really respect those guys that go out there and get on the field and give everything that they have. And Max Crosby is a fantastic player. He really is a star player. But like you said, you can tell that he's not himself. It's similar with Myles Garrett with the Browns right now. He's got the shoulder injury. He's just not himself. He's one of the best defensive players in the league. So, yeah, you look at both Max Crosby, Myles Garrett getting out there, gutting it out, giving what they can. But they're more special than where they are physically right now.
Well, one of the cool things about Max Crosby is, I guess if you're drafting someone, if they're a bit of a drug or alcohol problem, that can be a bonus, because what if they hit rock bottom like Max did? He gave it up. So he's going to now pour all that energy into football. And it changed him. It changed him as a human, a player, everything. And I'm like, I don't know if they have that stat. Does he have a drinking or drug problem that we can overcome?
It could go that way.
Right.
Or it can go think of Josh Gordon, the receiver that he had issues throughout his career, man, with substance
abuse. Barrett Robertson. Yeah. Barrett Robertson, the Raiders center who went to Tijuana the night before the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Great idea.
Not great. Not great before we take on Tampa, you know? Not great. But I hear you. Listen, and Max Crosby, he's done a fantastic job of turning that addiction around.
Right.
That's a different situation. And
it's unmeasurable.
The former addicts out there, they know what that is like. You know, they know all too well what that is like. I haven't, knock on wood, been addicted, so I just don't know to the same degree. You know, I know from the outside looking in, but anybody with sense knows that he's done a fantastic job to turn everything around, get his life in order, and then in turn, pour all of that into football. That guy, he stretches every day. That's the thing. He does this rigorous, it doesn't sound like anything. Like, what does he do? He touches his toes? No, man. He's Gumby. He works on that flexibility where he can bend around the edge, and that's how he gets an edge on most of the guys trying to block him, is he does this crazy stretching stuff every single day. And that's just – he's a guy that's always working on his craft. You can see it out there.
And I think that's what makes the difference in a player. Like Jerry Rice had this ridiculous workout, climb some mountain, and he would do all this extra stuff. I remember Tim Brown saying, yeah, Jerry, be out there. And so then he felt obligated to do it. So then Jerry would stay an hour and a half after because, oh, man, so Tim would do it. But it's a drive within these. Like, they're not going to let.
Yeah.
They're going to maximize their thing no matter what. And you're just like, wow. But that's the difference.
It's funny. I just saw it. I'd recommend this on Netflix. It's the Redeem Team.
The Redeem Team.
Yeah. The U.S. men's basketball team, and my years get mixed up. It might be 2012. Don't quote me on that. I can't remember the year exactly, but the previous Olympics, they didn't win gold. And so that's unheard of for Team USA.
For us. Yeah.
So they put the new team together, and Kobe was on the team. Kobe, LeBron, Dwayne Wade, some of the biggest names on the team. And Kobe was up at the crack of dawn. Like, most of the guys are coming back from a night out on the town. Right. They went out. They might have gone to the club. They had a good time. They come in the early morning hours, and Kobe's got all of his practice stuff on, and they're like, hey, where are you going? He's like, I'm going to work out and practice. And they were like, what? But they attributed Kobe's work ethic to them working harder and waking up early and putting it. Some guys are just built like that. Kobe certainly was. And you can see that with Max Crosby. You really can see how much he puts into what he does. It pays off.
Well, like, I think Shaq and Kobe, they had their differences. Part of it was Shaq's a little more like the two of us. I'm a little more lazy and touch, you know, where Brian, you might be a little more, you know, down the road and sensible, and sometimes that can cause a problem, a rift, you know, the odd couple thing. But they found a way to get through it. But like you're saying, when you have someone like that, and it's just not, it's not right.
Right.
You can't help but at least try to do more.
Right. You know? Well, and that's the thing too is, I like that you brought that up. That's one of the things that drove Kobe crazy about Shaq, was that he didn't have the same work ethic. He just didn't. But I also think with Max Crosby, that's got to drive you crazy to put all that time and effort to get your body right, to be ready and peak, you know, optimum performance. And then you get nicked up. And you're not yourself. Yeah. You're not close to 100%. And I get it. It's football. We understand that these guys are not going to be 100%. But when you are significantly compromised, that's got to be really annoying.
Well, Antonio Pierce, you can tell Max is more than just a player. Max is, I would say, a coach player. I say Antonio just gleans on Max for you know, where we at. And the fact that we had a player get a DUI the night before the Chiefs game, and we had another player who quit during the game. He's playing, you know, bullfighter and Ole, you know, Peters. And the fact that Antonio Pierce said, "All right, like, I don't care if you're a veteran. I don't care who you are. You're sitting down."
Right.
Because you're not Max Crosby out there. You are not giving your max.
That's there right. It is. That's there it, it is. That's why it's appropriate name, Max Crosby. That's right. No, but I like the point that you're bringing up is that shows that Antonio Pierce has head coaching ability, not interim head coaching ability. He's got head coaching ability, whether the Raiders give him that opportunity or not, time will tell. But I like that he's not this, you know, I'm the interim guy. I could make this hard decision and get rid of this player, but let's not rock the boat. You know, let's get through the season. He's like, no, that's
you're
not going to work.
You're out. You're right. In or you're out. And well, you know, Peters and Antonio Pierce, they played in the same, they played multiple years in the same time. So you would think there would be that, hey, vet, and you know, but if you're a vet, that I think the difference is like Charles Woodson, when he came back to the Raiders, he wanted to be there. And he also had a lot in the tank, you know, and, but he had, yes, you lose your ability a little bit, but you make it up in your veteran smart. And that's what I was counting on Peters, but it just felt something not right there. You know,
I'll tell you what too, man, with the DUI, there's no excuse for any NFL player to get popped for a DUI, but especially the Raiders. With what happened with Henry Ruggs, that just cannot happen to anybody.
You need to know. Well, first off, it's the night before a game. What are you doing? It was speeding and drinking and driving. Okay, that doesn't work with the Raiders anymore. That maybe 10 years ago, but not now. No, we are marked. And you need to know, you take a drink and you drive. You get pulled over. You're off the team. Your career's over.
Yeah.
Over. And they have to. It's not even like they there's a chance we could keep him. No. This is the people. If the Raiders kept him, then we're at fault. We're allowing this.
Yeah. That just – they have a service to pick you up on the house.
Are there any taxis in Vegas? Is there – you know, I've never driven in Vegas ever. And I don't even, I won't even walk. I tried walking once too, because if you're on the boulevard, things look closer than they are.
Yeah. Oh,
it's a mile and a half. I'm like, forget this.
You see this huge skyscraper, you're like, it's going to take 3 minutes. No, man, that's 3 miles away.
It's 120 outside. I've got an ugly Mickey Mouse fake thing fighting a Garfield over here on the way. Some guy's handing me porn stuff. And I'm like, what? And some tourist has a giant plastic cup hanging off his neck, vomiting in the bushes. Right? I'm like, yeah, don't walk. Get a ride. Just get a ride.
Yeah, get a ride. I felt like that at the Indianapolis 500 one year. I went to a guy, like an usher, and said, hey, man, these are my tickets. Where are they at? And he's like, you head about 20 miles down the straightaway. And I was like, 20 minutes. He's like, it's about 20 minutes down the straightaway. And I'm like, 20 minutes? He's out of his mind. It's not going to take that long. We start walking and walking and walking and walking. And I'm like, the straightaway is a mile long. Of course it's going to take 20 minutes. What was I thinking?
So when you get to your seat to Indianapolis 500, is it packed everywhere around you? Is it crowded? Depends.
I was there this last year, and it was. It was crazy packed.
So, but you only get one little glimpse at the track when they're coming, right? Or are there screens where you can kind of see the whole race? Or
yeah, there are screens in front of you, and you can see more than just that.
But then, is it like baseball, like a foul ball? You get to keep it if a tire shoots over the thing. Are people trying to catch it?
Man, well, they're trying to avoid it. This last race that happened, a tire went over the fence and didn't hit anyone. Thankfully, hit a car or something like that. But I'll tell you a funny story with Indy and betting. We started off with betting. So I was filling in for an Indianapolis sports radio station.
All right.
I did two interviews with two drivers leading up to the race. They interviewed other guys. I was just filling in. So it wasn't just me the whole time. But I interviewed two guys. One of them was Joseph Newgarden. Super nice guy. And so I'm heading to the race. They gave me a credential to go check out the race.
Okay. Oh, cool.
So it was awesome. And I'm looking at my DraftKings app, and he was plus 4,000. He was 40-1 to win the race. And I was like, yeah, maybe I'll just throw $100 on Joseph Newgarden to win this thing.
I met him. Like, it's great.
It's 40-1. I'm probably just throwing $100 away. I'm not going to do it. He won the race. I would have won $4,000 if I went with the guy who I interviewed, who was awesome, and he ended up winning the whole thing.
Oh my gosh. Well, so I used to have racehorses, and we were at Del Mar, and I was and Victor Espinoza was riding our horse, Rick's Ebony Star. Victor Espinoza, no one knew who he was. He was a new jockey. And there's a tradition, you give your jockey a $100 win ticket as an owner, right? And they only get paid. They get 10% of the purse. But, well, fast forward, it was a 13-1, and Victor won the thing. Well, then Victor Espinoza ends up winning the Kentucky Derby a couple years later, right? And now I couldn't get him to ride my horse if I wanted to. You know, he just shot up in levels. But I remember handing him this thing, and it's like, hey, kid, here's a good one. You know, do it upright. And then he becomes this famous thing. I'm like, I didn't know. I would have took more pictures. I would have been, I don't know. It's like, oh. He was right there.
That's hilarious. So I used to work in Albany, New York, and we would broadcast every Friday from Saratoga. Saratoga is sort of like the unofficial fourth leg of the Triple Crown. Some people think of it like that. So we'd go broadcast. It was a midday show. We just watched the horse races from that point on. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm betting like 10, 20 bucks. No big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Losing. I don't know what's going on. Finally, I'm betting on a horse. The jockey is John Velasquez, and he's nowhere close to winning this thing. All of a sudden, we're at the start-finish line. This bolt of lightning, this horse with Johnny Velasquez riding it.
Coming down.
Races to victory. And I'm like, yeah, it was my first win on a horse race. And there was this drunk guy that was just like, Johnny, he won also. So every time I see John Velasquez, it's Johnny from that.
Johnny. Well, the funny thing about if you go to the tracks, they're built for 200,000 to 300,000 people. Well, because of betting and satellite, it changed that. You could now bet and you don't have to go.
Oh yeah.
But so it feels so empty. It's just like, you know, a lot of people are betting around the nation, but they're not there. And
yeah,
it's just this track rat mentality. And you know, my kids are little, I'm dragging them to the track and they're picking up old ticket. They're just trying to be kids. And I was like, yeah, this is just the wrong environment for this. But
it's like, okay, kids, this is fun, but this might be a horrible impression and you don't quite understand what's going on. I don't know.
Well, it was my father-in-law was really into it. And so him and my son, who was 12 at the time, would watch the horse race channel. My son got to where I could just give him three horses and he would call a race. And they coming around and he goes, who do you want to win? I go, Captain Underpants. And then here comes Captain Underpants and he's got does the whole call and he's giving it all he got. And I was like, it was really cool. But I think this is going to get someone in Gamblers Anonymous probably. That's
right. I just like, met my nephew, Mini Matt, at Mario Kart. And we bet like $2 a race or something like that. And one of these years, he's just schooling me. He's up like $30, $40 or whatever. And he said to my sister, he's like, this is way better than working.
Oh.
And that's where she's like, oh no, that's where Brian, we have to bring it back Uncle to reality. It's like, no.
Uncle that's Brian taught me, who needs a job when you can gamble on Mario? All right, Brian, we're going to come back, and there are some rumors about the Las Vegas Raiders that we need to handle. It's some people are saying Mark Davis wants John Gruden in his stocking this year. That could be a possibility. That's what the rumor mill has it. We'll be back next with Brian's opinion to let us know, is Gruden coming back to Vegas? That's next on Inside the Patch.
Every Friday, tune in for Inside the Patch, featuring interviews with former and current Raiders. Join Gnarly Charlie Fridays at 4 p.m. right here on 1430 ESPN with guests like Bill Romanowski and many more as Gnarly paints the valley silver and black. 1430 ESPN, your official home of the Las Vegas Raiders. Your home of the Las Vegas Raiders, 1430 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader, KFIG Fresno.
Blocked by Illuminor, going deep, caught! Myers on McDuffie! What a grab! At the 20!
Inside the Patch with your Las Vegas Raiders, here's Gnarly Charlie.
Well, welcome back to Inside the Patch. I'm Gnarly Claus here with Brian Noe. We are ESPN 1430 Valley local sports leader. And what is in store for the Raiders for Christmas? Now we have a bye. So we're playing BYE this week, and we should do well against them. But Brian, what I want to address with you is I've heard the rumor mill that Mark Davis wants John Gruden in his stocking, under his tree, back on the Raiders coaching staff. Any validity to this? Do you think that's possible? Is that a good move? Is this a bad move? What do you think?
It's never gonna happen.
Okay. I wasn't quite sure how you feel about it. You're saying, what are the chances?
The chances are none. There is no way this will ever happen where John Gruden is the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders or any NFL team ever.
Oh, any. Any. You're saying any.
Ever.
It's wow. Done. Wow.
Here's the deal. And hear me out.
Okay.
Do you think there have been some rumors that the Washington Commanders might change their nickname? Again, there's a new ownership group, right? Yep. Like, do you think they're going to change it back to the Washington Redskins?
Not a chance.
They're never going to do that. It's over. It's done with. They're moving on. That's the way it is with John Gruden. So when his emails are exposed and there are some racist comments, there are some homophobic comments, right? That is nothing that the NFL wants to be associated with. And if John Gruden is a head coach again in the NFL, you know as well as I do, all of these talking heads and all of these shows are saying, well, hey, I guess the NFL doesn't care about
they're okay with it. They're okay with this.
Homophobic comments. I guess they're cool with all of that. That's not where the NFL wants to be, and that's not how they want to be thought of. So whether right or wrong, it's never going to happen again with John Gruden.
So to be, you're completely fair here. You're saying a 100% never, ever going to happen.
100% never, ever, ever. Unless you think the Washington Commanders are going to revert back to the Washington Redskins next year, which is and never, ever going to happen. Then
and Gruden will be the coach again.
You think Gruden's going to be back?
Because there was a Gruden coach on the Redskins, his brother Jay,
that's who went to.
Okay, so I see where you're coming from. Plus, you know, it's not like I don't think John was commenting on all these. I think he's guilty of getting something funny, and I'm guilty of this. I'll never be president of the United States because I have forwarded inappropriate things.
Right,
I have said, oh, that's funny. You might think that's funny. And if, like I said, I will never be president. If anybody did a background check on me, you know, but I'm not running for president.
Well,
I know
that's the thing. Oh, Gnarly, we talked about the Raiders player who got popped for a DUI. There have been a lot of people that have driven drunk and haven't been busted for it. It's a different situation when you're busted for it. And you might have forwarded some things that were inappropriate here and there. There are a lot of people that have, but you haven't been busted for it. And I can understand with Gruden, that's got to be the frustrating thing because he knows he's not the only one, but he was exposed for it. So he's in a different category than all these other people that might have forwarded or messaged inappropriate things on their own. It's unfortunate that he's the only guy. Listen, there might have been a lot of people speeding on the highway and Gruden's vehicle got pulled over. Well, the other people that were speeding, they didn't get busted. So they're not in the same category.
Well, okay, in a weird way, it's like Gruden was on a busy dinner table and he got knocked off. But then Gruden turned around and grabbed the tablecloth. He's not going down alone. He's about to pull a lot of people with him because they've gone to court. They've been trying to get it to where they don't go to court. They want a mediator. That's what the NFL wants. It's been denied. So what's going to happen next is, and this is the big point of the case, is that who released these? And then when Roger Goodell calls Mark Davis and says, hey, you got to get rid of him because there's more out there. Well, how does he know that?
I don't think there's a realistic card for him to play. Because the only thing he can do, he can drag others down with him, but that's not going to help his situation at all. It'd be like,
I think you're right.
Let's go back on the highway. Think about you and me. We're in separate cars. A bunch of our friends, we're all headed to wherever. We're going to Vegas.
Right.
Not drive around and just walk for miles and miles. But we're driving to Vegas, okay? I get pulled over. Let's say I'm the Gruden of the group.
Right.
And I'm thinking, man, this sucks. I'm the only one that got pulled over. Everybody was speeding. And I pass right by you
and I don't get busted.
Yeah. So let's say, suspend reality for a second. Let's say I've got a radar gun in my car and I can prove that you, our other friends, some strangers were speeding as well. I can drag you guys down with me. My ticket isn't going to be just ripped up and it no longer exists. It's not going to help me at all. It's the same thing with Gruden. He could drag others down and expose some emails. And you think I was the only one? Look at this one. That's not going to help him at all.
And that's where you're coming off with your he'll never coach again. Because no matter what, he's still guilty. And just because other people, like they say in driving, well, I was going the flow of traffic. Doesn't matter. You're the one I pulled over.
That's right. It doesn't even matter.
And everyone was wrong. Everyone was wrong.
Hey, and listen, there are a lot of things, and I think Gruden, with his comments, I think that you should be given a second chance. You should be able to right your wrongs, and you're enlightened, and you're a better person going forward. I believe in all of those things. But there are some things you're just not going to come back from. And this is one of them. He is not going to be back because of everything that is connected to it and all that it entails. Unfortunately, the NFL would look like they don't care about inappropriate comments against people of color, homophobic, gay people.
Yeah, anything.
Some people thought
all those
they
things.
Were, you know, it was anti-female, like whether you think that or not, it was out there. The NFL is going to look like they don't care about any of that stuff. It's never going to happen again. He's done.
If the NFL allows him back, and then all those other groups now have a fire against the NFL, it's now, okay, you're going to do that, then we're not going to watch. We're going to now campaign against the NFL. They don't like women. They don't like, you know.
Right. It's bad for business. You see some of the commercials that the NFL has. They want to be inclusive. They want everybody to feel like they have a seat at the table.
Right.
You belong here.
Right.
It's good for business, right? So they don't want to give the impression that, oh, people of color, you don't have a seat at the table. Oh, gay people, you don't have a seat at the table. Because they look like they're down with comments like that. If Gruden isn't rehired, it's not going to happen, man.
You're right. Wow. And so all the people can speculate all they want, but you make a very valid point, because if the NFL says, okay, let him in.
Nope.
Yeah. It's not going to work.
Not happening.
All right. So I'm going to take Gruden out from under the stocking and under the tree. who right now is your long shot darling for the Super Bowl? Someone that maybe wasn't. Like, I thought the Bills were going to be great this year, and I feel like they've lost a step in confidence or whatever. I mean, the Dolphins, they're hit or miss. I mean,
yeah,
they really win or they really lose.
I think Dolphins have a legitimate chance because they've been banged up earlier in the season where you get your two starting corners back. There are a lot of games that Jalen Ramsey missed. Xavier Howard missed as well.
Yeah,
you get
yeah.
your corners back. You got Vic Fangio right there. They've played really good defense. So if they're blessed with better health, they're in the mix. They lost Jalen Phillips, one of their edge rushers. That hurts.
Oh.
Yeah, and their offensive line has been dinged up a decent amount. So I think they're a team that's in the mix. I think a team like Jacksonville, if they made a deep run in the playoffs, you'd be like, Jacksonville? Really?
Right, right, right.
We expected them to win their division, but they're beating the Chiefs and the heavy hitters. That would be a surprise. And I think the NFC, look, man, some of these teams are going to sneak into the playoffs. I just think it's more of a top-heavy conference over there where Philly, the Niners, the Cowboys.
Cowboys
clearly
are hit and miss, you know.
Yeah.
I don't see anything like the Vikings or, you know, the Packers if they sneak in there. Even the Lions. I got a lot of doubts about the Lions if they can weave their way through that gauntlet. I just don't see that.
Well, and then the Saints, boy, they just sure have dropped off. And I'm a Derek Carr fan. I love him. He's a local Fresno guy. But, man, I'm just like, it's just not there sometimes, you know?
No. Yeah, it's – dude. Carr is a weird guy. He's a bit like he's a souped up Baker Mayfield, right?
Yeah, a nice one. He's a nice one.
He's a guy that can make a lot of plays, a lot of great throws, but he'll have two, maybe three mistakes in a game that'll kill you. And you're ending up losing a lot of those games. You're just not going to get anywhere.
Well, and how does Hill come in the quarter, you know, for the Saints? And pick up 12 yards on a play that's dead. You know, it's like, what is he doing?
I know.
I saw the stats of him as a wide receiver, him as a running back, him as a quarterback. And no one has those stats. No one has that many attempts. And he's successful.
Yeah.
He's a true football player.
Right. He's like Cordell Stewart. Remember when he was with the Steelers early on and his nickname was Slash?
Slash.
Quarterback slash wide receiver slash running back.
Right.
That really is what Taysom Hill is.
That's true. I mean, I'm surprised he's not playing middle linebacker too. You know, I'm surprised they don't have a few sets for him playing some D.
I don't know if he still is, but he used to be on kickoff team.
All of them. No, he's on all. He makes some hits. I've seen him. He is all around football guy.
He's fun. It's fun to have a Swiss Army knife like that, you know, and you're like, he's playing slot receiver right now. He was just on the kickoff. He's all over.
It's kind of okay. Like Olympics or rodeo, you know, in rodeo, there's different events, bareback, this bull riding model, but then there's all around cowboy. And I think in the Olympics too, you got your decathlon. It's like, this guy's doing 10 things, you know, not everyone could do that.
What do you think of the steeplechase, by the way? I don't understand the water.
Not the water, the water one. That and the one where you're on skis and you have a gun. It's like, I'm like, they're like, hey, we need a sport we can win. You know, we're good shooters and we like the cross-country ski. That's us.
I went to high school with a girl who is an Olympian in that sport.
You don't want to marry someone like that. Because you make her mad, she can catch you in the snow and shoot you.
She's going to track easily. You down somehow, some way, man. You are not safe.
You're not safe. Okay, another thing that's kind of been sniffing around the Christmas tree, they made flag football a Olympic sport coming up. And now I've heard Tyreek Hill with some interest. Mahomes is thinking about it. Like, are we going to have our pro guys do it? Or is there somebody that's not a tackle football player that is the greatest flag football guy ever? And I do love seeing the overweight quarterback guys that play flag football, and they're good.
Yeah.
And that guy is clearly a couch sitter. You know, clearly a husband didn't have the ability to play tackle. But, man, is he a flagger, you know?
Well, I think a couple of things. I don't think there's any great outcome for that event. If you've got Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and all these big-name NFL players, either they boat race everybody, right?
Right.
Which isn't great for entertainment value. Or they lose in this crazy upset, and it makes you question, okay, this is some completely different version of football that it doesn't even seem legitimate. You know what I mean? So your options are boat race everybody, not great, or they lose, not great either.
And does flag football translate? I mean, does tackle football translate to a good flag football player? And
yeah,
then can guys
on the position like Tyreek Hill? Now you're just trying to pull his flag. Good luck.
How do you practice? Like reaching a fan and trying to stop the fan? I mean, it's like,
well,
it's
so
fast.
Thing, man, these are NFL, the best athletes playing that sport. I don't know who they're playing against. Are they playing like Germany's beer league flag football team? And they're trying to get Tyreek's flags. Oh, dude, it's
Well, and then I also know that breakdancing is going to be an Olympic sport, which does Yugoslavia have a breakdance team? Does Djibouti have a breakdance team? You know, like how's that going to work? It's like Cool Runnings.
Those are a couple of events that I would absolutely check out.
Well, and my favorite part about that is you have to have terminology. And just like, okay, in gymnastics, you got to pull off of this. There's a list of things. And so in breakdancing, there's got to be a – and I don't even know, like a 780 head spin or, you know, you have a cardboard. So someone has to have that terminology. So someone to be the announcer has to be an old school breakdancer. You know, electric boogaloo or whatever. I don't know how that works. And do they have their own boombox? It's a giant with 48 D's batteries in it.
I think what's funny is not knowing the intricacies of a lot of these Olympic events, where diving is a good example. I just know that a lot of splash is bad.
Lot of splash is bad. Yeah.
The commentators will be like, he didn't quite complete the rotation in that. I don't know, 540 twist. I don't know any of that. I know. I just know splash is bad. So I think it's funny with these newer events, what will be the universal language where I might not know everything, but that right there, that was bad.
I know that's not going to work well.
Yeah.
Well, and in diving too, all of a sudden there's two guys and they have to be in sync. It's hard enough to be in sync yourself. And now you got to time it perfect with your partner here. He cramps up. Your Olympics are shot, even though you were perfect. You know?
Skateboarding, you fell down. Bad.
Not good.
I don't know anything about completing twists and rotations. I can't follow all that stuff. You fell down. That's bad. That's all I know.
X Games is all about. I'm like, I have no idea if that was good or bad. He seemed to land it. I think that's okay.
That's good.
You know?
Pipe in the Winter Olympics. You fell down. It's bad. It's not good. Not what we're looking for.
I was watching a TikTok the other day, and this girl was like, she's so upset about something. She goes, "Man, I did a total 360," and I'm like, "That's you mean 180, but you don't know that. So you're 360. You're back where you started.
That's right. That's right.
You did.
All the skateboarders are like, "Oh my gosh, again with this." Like,
my life did a total 360 yesterday. Yes, it's the exact same. Nothing changed. All right. Well, the Raiders can't lose this week. That's the good news.
Right.
Max is getting some time off. The next is we've got a couple roster spots we're going to fill. And that's the other thing. Like sometimes because I try to be optimistic and I get excited about a player that some team said, we don't want him. We're done. And you know, and maybe they got something in the tank. I don't know, but we're getting some new players and Antonio Pierce is, he's making hold you accountable.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're going to come over here, you better be trying.
Yeah. I like that. I like that he is not this passive coach and I don't want to rock the boat. And he'll make some hard decisions. I like that about him. And look, man, they're going to get a couple of cast-offs. You're not the same player with every team.
Right.
A lot of it is fit, scheme, role, all kinds of stuff goes into that. So maybe some of these pickups that the Raiders make where you shrug your shoulders and say, that guy just fizzled out of whatever team. It might be different with the Raiders. It just depends on how they fit.
Well, and plus, I think when you lose everything and you're still not done, you get another shot. You get another chance. Sometimes people rise to that occasion, you know?
Yeah. Let's just hope that they don't get popped driving drunk. But that's the first.
Yeah. They should probably make a sign. Just win, baby. Oh, and don't drink and drive the night before a game. Or maybe not at all. Just not at all. You know, wait till after the season. When I used to go to the track, the horse races in San Francisco, Golden Gate, I went like Saturdays, probably I went at 6 times in a year. Sebastian Janikowski was there every time. And I was like, Seabass is there, you know? And he looked hammered sometimes. They had a game the next day. And I'm like, Seabass is hammered at the track.
That sounds like a believable story. I got to tell you, Gnarly, that sounds very believable.
And I'm like, I would think like, you know, the season's what, 17 weeks roughly, you know, maybe don't drink. Maybe just like take that off. Nope. I'm a kicker. I don't care. And it makes me think, how many times was he booting a 60 yarder, hammered, hung over?
No telling. Everybody eats up those stories. Every time I see a headline, ex-NFL player admits he was high during the whatever game or the whatever season, it seems like every NFL fan clicks on that story.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to know. Yeah.
Well, my buddy played for the Padres, Brian Giles, and he said the pitchers were the worst alcoholics because they knew if they threw, they got 3 days rest. But every once in a while, they're hammered and they get called in for an inning and like, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no. Oh, you just threw it over the backstop. What the hell's wrong with you?
That's like, John, you're a reliever. We can call on you almost any game. You're not a starting pitcher, man. Come on.
Yeah. It's that brown bag with a can in it. Just not good. Not good. All right, Brian, no, we have cleared up. And just to be sure, the chances of John Gruden being the Raiders coach next year is?
Zero.
Not happening, okay?
Not happening at all. So don't
your prop bet is never happening.
Not happening. Never.
Not happening.
Nope.
All right.
Sorry.
Now, if it does, you know I'm breaking out this footage
and putting it right next to you. Make promos. You should hit up the freezing cold cake guys and the whole thing, man.
Oh, you know, I'm thinking about writing a song for you too this year. Let it know, let it know, let it know. Because Brian knows. Brian, thanks again, man. We're going to take so Raiders aren't going to lose this week. And so only good things can happen. Well, I can't say that anymore.
Yeah.
Because there is alcohol and there are idiots that don't take cabs. So
let's be undefeated with DUIs. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
Zero in the lost column with DUIs in the bye week. That's what we're looking forward to.
So when we say the under, is it the under the influence is the problem?
If you take the under, it's like, I thought I was taking under the influence. Ah, man.
That's a sure bet for us. Always take the under the influence with the Raiders. All right. We'll see you next week. Brian, no, I'm Gnarly Charlie. It's Inside the Patch.
Every Friday, tune in for Inside the Patch, featuring interviews with former and current Raiders. Join Gnarly Charlie Fridays at 4 p.m. right here on 1430 ESPN with guests like Bill Romanowski and many more as Gnarly paints the valley silver and black. 1430 ESPN, your official home of the Las Vegas Raiders.